Our text is, rejoice in the Lord always, and again, I will say, rejoice. And if your heart is hurting today, the first question you're going to ask is, how do I rejoice when I hurt? And maybe that's how God surprises us with Christmas joy. Those of you who are guests may not know the significance of this wreath, but several years ago, we passed out these little plastic rosebuds to our congregation, and we said, hold those rosebuds until God brings you an answer to that impossible situation in your life. When he breaks through and surprises you with joy in an area where you're heartbroken. And one by one, these roses have trickled in. And every year we add more to the wreath. This year we added about 45, I believe. And that's there front and center in the pulpit today to speak to you as living evidence that you may have an impossible situation today. But God knows about that. And God's timing isn't always our timing. His methods is not always our methods. But he does know and he does care, and he ultimately is going to come through for you. So I want you to know that one of the reasons we can say, rejoice in the Lord this morning, and you ask, how do I do it? It's because God is faithful and he's promised that ultimately he will respond to your need. And that leads us to this second part of our being surprised by joy. And this may surprise you. Finding joy is related to choices you make. If some of you are waiting for something to happen in your life before you're going to find joy, I want to add this dimension. You can take some action today that will facilitate God giving you joy. For example, you can choose to believe that the same God who loved you enough to send Jesus the first Christmas, the same God who responded to all of these prayers on the wreath, has promised to take care of your needs in his own time and in his own way. And you need to know that tough times do not possess the power to take away your joy this year unless you allow tough times to do it. You have to give permission to allow your circumstances to rob you of joy. If our joy then is missing, our loss is related to a choice we've made not to trust God's involvement in our pain and in our struggles. On the other hand, by choosing to rejoice in the Lord this morning, we give witness that an all-powerful God is in charge of our destiny, and we give witness to our confidence that nothing in this world is going to negatively impact God's ultimate perfect plan for us because we're his children. And he loves us, and he knows us, and he cares about us. Dr. Smeeds of Fuller said something very significant. He says, you and I were created for joy. And if we miss joy, we miss the very reason for our existence. No one likes tough times. And no one's suggesting today that you should praise God for tough times. But you can choose what your response will be to the pain you feel. We're suggesting through our text that holding tight to our faith that our Heavenly Father has an ultimate plan for good, even when we can't see and we don't understand the terrible things that happen to us, it's at that point we become victors rather than victims of our circumstances. And that's the secret, the surprise of Christmas joy. Tim Hansel is a friend of our church. Many of you know him. He's a man who's discovered the secret of Christmas joy by choosing joy in tough times rather than misery and self-pity. He was injured seriously years ago in a hiking accident, and since that time, he has been in constant physical pain from a skeletal injury. That pain will probably never go away. He describes how after years of struggling with God about this pain, demanding healing as a precondition of knowing joy, Tim made a strategic discovery that I want to share with you today. God wasn't ever going to deliver him from his pain. And if his joy was dependent upon finding an end to physical pain, he was going to be miserable forever. And that was not a pleasant thought. The Lord helped Tim understand that joy does not depend on circumstances, but on our response to circumstances. In fact, do you realize that Christian joy is usually found in spite of or even in the midst of tough times, sort of like Paul sitting in prison, facing execution, telling us to rejoice in the Lord always. Christian joy is found in big needs, in overwhelming schedules, in unbelievable stress. That's where it comes out and shines like the treasure that it is. I think this is becoming my favorite passage in the Old Testament. It's from that little known prophet Habakkuk. He writes, "Though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vine, and though the olive crop fails, and the fields produce no food, and though there are no sheep in the pen, and no cattle in the stalls," listen, "yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I'll be joyful in God my Savior." You see, this is the lesson Tim Hansel learned. Not rejoicing in the circumstances that rob us of joy, but having a response that God is faithful in the midst of those circumstances. He's not going to forsake us. That's what we want you to hear today. Tim mentioned a plaque someone sent him during his time of stress, which read, "Tim, trust me. I have everything under control. Jesus." I wish I could have made every one of you a plaque. I would have given you that to take home to remember this today. Whatever your name is, Mary, Sue, Jim, trust me. I have everything under control. And it's signed personally, Jesus. That plaque expresses the tidings of great joy that we're offering today in the name of Jesus Christ. Jesus came. He's a resurrected Savior. He's with us, and he said, "I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you." And above all, he has everything, even your life, under control. I know this is the security Tim had in mind when he made, I think, the best statement of his career, when he said, "Pain is inevitable, but misery is optional." Pain is inevitable, but misery is optional. Do you catch that this year? You who came to church and thought, "I'm going to have a miserable Christmas." If you are, it's your choice. Don't waste another minute waiting for your circumstances to change before you begin to rejoice in the Lord. Dare to put a smile on your face before you get an answer to your prayer. Choose to rejoice in the Lord in spite of what's happening in your life. That's faith. And I guarantee you, God will surprise you with his joy. Miracles will happen. Started knocking at the door of your heart. Maybe you were one of those who least suspected to smile today and to really be touched with joy, and I hope you're surprised. I want you to just keep an imprint of this wreath and its promises, and maybe envision putting your rose on there about what God is going to do with that problem that this morning looks impossible. Trust you might continue thinking about this verse throughout the Christmas holidays. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I will say rejoice. But you know, there's more. Today, if God should answer your prayer mysteriously and magically by 3 o'clock this afternoon, you were healed, your relationship was all better, whatever is troubling you suddenly was cured, life was perfect, you would still be a mortal human being. You would still have a body that ages. We would still, as human beings, face that ultimate enemy, death. We'd look out on the world out there and we'd see the powers of evil growing that somehow makes us ask at times as Christians, did Jesus die in vain? Is good really going to win over evil in the end? Or are we in a losing battle in this thing called Christianity? I want to share with you the ultimate root of why we Christians are happy at Christmas time. And that is that this same Jesus that was born in a cradle and died on a cross and was resurrected Easter morning, we believe he returns as the Messiah, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Billy Graham puts it this way: there will be a glorious climax to human history. At some point in the future, Jesus will take control of our war-weary world and bring the permanent peace we long for. A new world will be formed. A new social order will emerge. The King is coming, and when he comes, sin will be eliminated. Tears will be wiped away from every eye. Disease will be no more. There'll be no more homeless, no more hungry. and even death will be eliminated from the human scene. Nation will not lift up sword against nation, and war will be no more. That's our ultimate source of hope, and that's our ultimate source of joy as Christians. I would suggest that that's the major ingredient in the tidings of great joy the angel told us about when he said, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy. For today there has been born to you a Savior who is Christ the Lord." And I add that he's also our coming King. So the Bible says, "Hallelujah. For the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. And the kingdom of this world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ. And he shall reign forever and ever, King of kings and Lord of lords." And we say, "Hallelujah."